Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ with your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the lights, and the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, and the lights, and the light. We will spread.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler from the state of North Carolina with my co-host Tim Bench from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Courtney Carruthers from the state of Illinois, Steve Cordo from the state. Let's see. Steve has moved. He just told me today he's moved. I'm about to find out where Steve is now. And Dr. Frank Washington from the state of Florida, Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia, and Brian Christian Coleman from the state of New Jersey, and Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Florida. Let me see where Steve is from. He just told me today that he has moved. He has a new work. He is in Danville, Illinois. So Steve Cordo is from the state of Illinois as well. So we have to get that information updated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening, this radio show. Is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. Or if you have any questions for my co-host, you can send your questions to my email, my new email address at ButlerSteve1009@yahoo.com. You can give me a call at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in the word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day. and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast, and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my co-hosts on the show this evening, Robert Lee Johnson and Steve Cordell, as they break unto us the bread of life. And also my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, as he answers the questions that are on the hearts of so many. We pray that you will bless them and their families that support their efforts, that they may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners who are tuning in to this radio broadcast. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you would forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Our speakers for this evening in the first segment will be my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson. He serves as the evangelist for the New Horizon Church of Christ there in Lake City, Florida. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And in the second segment, I have a question for my shouted out platform on social media, Facebook. I'll be posing to my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. He serves as evangelist with the Colonial Village Church of Christ there in Chicago, Illinois. He'll be answering our question on the show this evening. And in the last segment, my co-host, he serves as evangelist. He has a new work now at the East Park Church of Christ in Danville, Illinois. And he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds. And let's have a great show after the break. And this voice here will be that of my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson. Enjoy the show.
Around. to do a good work.
Let it shine, yeah.
Let it shine
forevermore.
Forevermore. Oh, no, let the gospel light, let it shine. Yeah. Hey, that light.
Lord, you know I need you.
King Jesus,
you know
that I need you every day of my life.
Oh, I need you.
King Jesus,
I know
you can make everything.
Cause even when I'm down and out,
you're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my co-host Robert Lee Johnson and his subject, the Bible, Jesus, and the Bible Gospel. You're live, Robert. Go ahead, Robert. Seem to have some technical difficulty with our audio with Robert, so just give us a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
It ain't easy.
No.
Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough, so rough, so rough. Sometimes it gets tough for me. Has anybody been lonely all by yourself? Has anybody been sad. Have you even been mad? Oh, you had to cry all night long. I know it's hard, but what you need to do, you need to wait. God's gonna see you through.
If you wait.
Night. until he brings me through.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to apologize for the delay. Now my speaker is ready to go. My co-host Robert Lee Johnson has a subject, the Bible Jesus and the Bible Gospel.
Eradicate from your mind.
All right, true worshipers.
It's time to forget about all the trouble the devil's brought in our life. Give it over to God. Yeah. I want you to know right now it's his time.
We gotta give him praise. Let everybody worship.
Come on.
The Lord.
Let's worship. Oh, come on, saints, it's worthy.
Eradicate from your mind
everything,
all the
pain
and suffering.
Let your troubles make
him worthy of the glory.
Give him the praise, yeah.
Oh.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
I done introduced this brother two times already. Go ahead, Robert.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, my good friends. I'm so happy to have you today and to be a part of this wonderful radio broadcast. I'm sorry. I apologize to my friend, Brother Stevie, because we've had some difficulties, but I do apologize to him and to you, my friends, for the opportunity, my Bible, to be here and to share the Word of God with you. My subject is another Jesus, another gospel, and I invite you to come and walk with me through this subject as we talk on the seriousness of the Word of God. And thank you so much for being with us and for sharing in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it seems now that we are ready to do this, and I'm very happy that we finally were able to check in. For our scripture reading today, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to look at these verses, 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4. So join us and be with us and continue to listen to this beautiful gospel station. Paul said, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Listen to him now, friend. He said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." He goes on to explain to the Corinthians. He says, "So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Paul is really chastising the Christians here because he feels like they would honestly turn away from the truth of God and be led by the false ways of men. And so Paul says to them, he said, "Look, you have a responsibility here." He is concerned about them remaining in the truth of God and God's word. And so he allows them to understand that their focus is really to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and in harmony with his will. And so after telling them these things, he encourages them to be a part of New Testament Christianity as he had shared with them. You remember the Galatians drifted away from God. You remember the Hebrews drifted away from God. And so Paul does not want to see this same thing occur with the Corinthians. And so therefore he is speaking with them and allowing them to know that their responsibility is a great one. Someone is saying, "Tell me, Brother Johnson, what is important about this Jesus that Paul preached?" Well, Paul showed them a number of things. He showed them, "I'm going to talk about Jesus, and you need to recognize and to understand that this Jesus that I would talk to you about," he said, "that this Jesus came and ended the law of Moses." We hear so many people today who talk about the law expressing things that they really don't understand and encouraging people to be a part of the old law when actually the old law has been taken out of the way by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to him now. In Romans 10 and verse number 4, Paul says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So if one is a believer in Jesus, if one is a believer in the gospel of Christ, then he must accept the fact that the law of Moses no longer reigns in the lives of believers today. That God gave that law for a specific purpose or reason, and the reason and purpose for that law being given has served its particular purpose, and therefore Christians are not to engage in keeping of the law of Moses today. Paul says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, the end there does not mean termination, but it means that Christ is the goal of the law. The law pointed men to Christ and encouraged men to follow the New Testament way of God because the old was being taken out of the way, superseded by the new, and therefore men and women now have a new master, a new lawgiver. It's no longer Moses, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, if you please, to the Galatian church. Listen at me now. In Galatians 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. An attempt to keep the law today means that one must keep the whole law. You can't just keep that portion of the law that you feel or believe is right. You must keep the whole law. Whatever the law said, man must put himself under that. Now listen to what Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, as he made himself very, very clear regarding the intent, purpose, and the termination of the law. Paul said in Galatians 5, verses 3 and 4, well, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Listen now. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you'll fallen from grace. So his point is, if you are trying to keep the law of Moses today, you are in error, and it's an impossible task. Because the Bible says right here in the word of Almighty God that you have fallen from grace. To be fallen from grace, friends, is hence to become a sinner in the sight of God. And one, it is impossible then for one to keep the law and to be a part of that great law given by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's a beautiful thing for us to recognize the true teaching of the Word of God. So you fall from grace. To fall from grace is to sin. To fall from grace is to miss the mark. To fall from grace is to be out of grace with our wonderful Savior. So that's the Jesus that the Bible speaks about. That's the Christ that we are to be aware of and that we are instructed then to follow. And so the scripture is very plain regarding the law of Moses. Go with me now over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Listen at the marvelous Apostle Paul as he talks again about the word of Almighty God. Ephesians 2, I want to start at verse number 12. The Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, when one is outside of Jesus, he has no hope. And the Bible says you're without God, you are without hope. As long as one is living in the world and not recognizing the will of God. Then in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, the Bible says, but now something changed, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, the Bible says, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's how precious his blood is. His blood was so powerful that it ran all of the way back to the beginning of the age where Adam and Eve lived and Abraham and all of those great patriarchs of old. And that precious blood that Jesus shed was able to cleanse them from their sin. You're brought nigh by the blood of Christ, for Christ is our peace, who has made both one, the Bible says, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two or twain one new man, so making peace. God took the Jew, God took the Gentile, and place them in the church of Christ, that each one might find peace with his master. And then the Bible says in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God. Where do we find reconciliation, Brother Johnson? That he might reconcile both unto God in one body, that's the church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The Bible says, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were not. And so there are many today who are close to the kingdom of God. But you never get in the kingdom. You'll never know peace. You'll never know the forgiveness of sins if you're trying to hold on to a law that was taken out of the way by the power of God. And so the Bible states it very clearly for us in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh. In other words, when Christ died upon the cross, there was so much power in his death that he took away the law. The Bible says he abolished it. Well, how can you be in something that God abolished? How can you keep something that was abolished by God? Friends, you can't. The old law ended. You get another Jesus, you have to get another gospel. And this Jesus that I'm telling you about today was so in love with humanity that he came and died upon Calvary's cross that we might have peace in our souls and in our lives, and that we will be able to find our way to God. And so the scripture is telling us this, that if you get another Jesus, then you have to get another gospel. And if you get another gospel, you have to get another Jesus. So this Jesus that Paul preached, Paul said, he took the law of Moses and nailed the law to his cross. There's no more power in the law. One cannot keep the law and satisfy Almighty God. Say amen when you can. Because whether you say it or not, it's true, good people. And then secondly today, in speaking of Christ, I want to just tell you this much, that Christ is the only mediator. There's no other mediator between God and man. not one. Christ is the only one. And the Bible says, I can tell you, may I tell you what the Bible says? Thank you very kindly. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What is his work? Christ is my mediator. Christ loves me so much that he allows me to make contact with him. And the Bible says that I've been reconciled to God's holy son, that I might know him and know of the power that he carries in his life. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, listen, people talk about how God reconciled to man. Why would God reconcile to man? God never left man. Man is the one who left God. That is totally wrong to say that God reconciled himself to man. God does not reconcile himself to man. And what God does, he loves us to the point where he wants us to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is something that we have to bear in mind and really keep in mind. So Paul said, in writing to the Corinthian church, listen at this language now. In all things, inside please. In all things, the Bible says, are of God. Over to the right and just go, just reach back there in the middle and you'll feel a knob and just flip it. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, the Bible says, the word of reconciliation. God has given us the word of reconciliation. What is that word, Brother Johnson? It is the powerful attestation to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves us, and that God is concerned about us, and that God wants us to be saved, and to know of his holy power, that he has turned loose, set loose in Jesus Christ, that dear Savior of the world. And so, my friends, I'm just happy tonight to be a part of men who dispense the power of the gospel of Christ. And so his gospel tonight saves us. If you believe God, you have to believe in the power of the gospel of God. And the great Apostle Paul said the other day, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. God can save everybody, but the truth of the matter is everybody is not going to come to God that they might be saved. It's just a beautiful thing for us to know that the gospel is God's power to be saved. God has thrown out a love line. Man must grab a hold to that gospel. Everybody is not preaching the gospel of God today. Everybody is not preaching the gospel of Christ today. Everybody is not saying what God wants them to say. But Paul said it in the city of Rome. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you something. You better hook up with Jesus Everybody is talking about hooking up. Well, you need to hook up with Christ. You need to hook up with the blessed Savior of the world. Amen. Now, one must be in Christ in order to have that beautiful life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the apostle said, now that you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new. Where? In Christ. See, people want to say, well, I'm a Christian, and they keep on with the old mean ways. They keep on lying. You know, we have people that lie in politics, and some are perpetuating those lies, saying that the election was stolen. When have you known anybody to steal an election in America? The election was not stolen. The election was decided by people who chose their candidate, just like we always do. And so stop believing the lies that people say. People lie in politics. People lie when they stand behind pulpits in this country, giving men and women medicine that is contrary to the will of God. But I want to tell you something tonight, that if you want to be in Christ, you must obey the teachings of Christ, become a new creature. And then when you do that, God will bless you by giving you eternal life. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. I want to look at verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. God has given unto us what? Eternal life. That's why I can never give up Jesus. For this world, for some friend, for some institution, for some doctrine that's not in the Bible, when you have Christ, then you have eternal life. The Bible so says. And so the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And then the Bible says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Listen now, he that hath the Son, the Bible says, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, the Bible says, you don't have life. And so it's a wonderful thing tonight to know that if you get to Jesus from the Bible, you can be saved from your sins. You can be a new creature. And the Bible says that if you have the Son, then you have life. It didn't say nothing about Muhammad, Brother Clay Phillips. It didn't say nothing about Muhammad. But it did say if you have the Son, you have life. It didn't say nothing about Euripides. If you got him, you got life. No, the Bible says if you have the Son, then you have life. Y'all better get some Son in you. Pray, Brother Johnson. I said you better get some Son in you. Because Christ is able to do that for us. Listen now. Let me go a little further. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul said that he had the ministry of God from heaven. and that he was talking to people that needed to be saved or had been saved, and he wanted them to stay in God's ministry. You know, when you become a Christian, you need to sit down somewhere in the church. Stop running here and there. Talking about I'm visiting over here today and I'm visiting over there. What you visiting for? If you already got what you need, then why do you need to go somewhere else? And so Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, how? By Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul had the means to bring man back to God. God is not coming to man now, because God never left man, but man left God. And if man want to find God, he must come back to God. And Paul said, God, this gospel ministry which I have, which God allowed me to have a part in, preach, Paul. He said, God has given us the means of reconciliation. In verse number 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, to wit, that God was in Christ doing what? The Bible says, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, what? The word of reconciliation. Let me tell you something. You better stop following these preachers that talking about they know God, and they talk to God, and God talks back to them. God talks to all of us through the preciousness of the Bible, the holy word of God. I'm thankful tonight that we have that ministry. And Paul says, yes, that ministry will bring us to God. I have just a few minutes left, so let me just stress a few points before I take my seat. Now, the Bible says that it takes the one baptism into Christ. The one baptism places us into Jesus Christ. How you know, Brother Johnson? Well, it says so in the Bible. Let me look at Romans chapter 6. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. And I want to look at verses 2 through 5 as Paul talks to us there from the scripture. Romans 6 and verse number 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so the Bible says you got to be buried in water. I baptized a young man not too long ago, and it was during the cold season, and I got down in the water. It was cold in that water. And I told him, I said, Mr. Anderson, the water is cold. He said, don't matter. I got to go down in the water. He went on down in the cold water, and he got baptized, and he came up a new creature. Let me tell you something. When people understand what they need to do to be saved, they'll not make excuses. Now, I find out where the heater was, and I turned the heater on after that. But he went on down in the cold water, and the man got baptized for the remission of his sins. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, let's go there, as we talk about getting into Christ and the importance of being there. Galatians 3 and verse 27, you're talking about another Jesus. This is Christ's gospel. That's the one gospel, Galatians 3:27. The Apostle Paul tells us there, listen now, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, a gospel preacher is not going to tell you that he doesn't know the plan of salvation. A gospel preacher is going to show you what God says that a man must do in order to be saved. So if you're lost out there today, you need to find the true church of Christ and find a minister that would tell you what you need to do to be saved, to have your sins forgiven and washed away. Hebrews 5:8-9 tells us that God saves the obedient. People say, I don't know what's in the water, and I'm not going down in that water. You don't have to go down in there, but neither do you have to be saved, because God saves the obedient one. Hebrews 5:8-9 tells us that. And so I just want to let you know that this gospel, the preciousness of the gospel, will lead you to be obedient to Christ and to his will and to his way. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the Savior of the church. Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 5:23. Listen now. While the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's what he's going to save, his body. He's not going to save somebody that is not in the Bible. He's not going to save the Baptist body. That's not in the Bible. He's not going to save the Seventh-day Adventist body. That's not in the Bible. He's not going to save the Lutheran body. And whichever one he's going to save, he's only going to save one. And I came by to tell you today that that body that he's going to save is the Lord's church, that great body that is the kingdom of God, the house of God, the church of Christ. And if you're not in it, you need to get in it today. 1 Corinthians 12:12, 1 Corinthians 12:20, Ephesians 5:23 tells us that this Jesus built one church and that he's coming back to save his church. This gospel that Paul preached, Galatians 1:6-12, Paul says that there's one gospel and that the power of God is in the gospel. My friends, you must get where Jesus located his power if you want to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says we're called by the gospel. Romans 6:17-18 says the gospel frees us. And Romans 1:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Another Jesus, you say. The Seventh-day Adventists got another Jesus. They got another gospel. Some say that Christ is just one of many mediators. But I'm telling you tonight, Christ is the only one who can reconcile us to God. Another gospel, you say, the doctrines of men. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 15:8-9. Some say Christ will call you directly from heaven to be a Christian. I'm telling you, he won't. Some say he'll call you by prayer. I'm telling you, you can't get to God that way. And some say all you need to do is have faith on it, and God will save your soul. And some will tell you there's nothing to do in order to be a Christian. I'm telling you tonight, my good friends, there's one Jesus who built one church. He put all of his power in the saving gospel, and he wants you to come and be a part of this journey as we move from earth to heaven. And you can be a part of this Jesus journey and the gospel journey. A very simple thing. God tells us to hear the gospel. Acts 15 and verse number 7. We are to believe it. Acts 15, 7. We are to repent of our sin. Acts 17, 30. And the Bible says we're to confess Christ to be God's son. Acts 8 and verse number 39. And then the Bible says we're to get baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're listening to me here in the Lake City, Florida area, I bid you to come walk with us on Sundays and Wednesday, on Sundays and Wednesday at 6130 U.S. Highway 441 right here in Lake City, Florida. And those of you who are listening in other places, look and find a true church of Christ. Talk to your minister. Talk to the minister there and ask him, what must one do to be saved? And you'll be told what to do to be saved. I want to thank you for listening. I apologize so much for the problems and issues we had at the beginning of the program. But Brother Stevie will work those things out in the future so they won't happen again. Thank you so much. Have a great day. God bless you. And thank you for listening to the gospel.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific need. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, just contact me at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the coronavirus pandemic outbreak, I will not be making any public announcements until further notice regarding public assemblies or meetings, but I will be making announcements regarding the events and activities that are happening here on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be a nationwide gospel call sponsored by the Church of Christ in Highland Heights from Houston, Texas. And the telephone number to this call is 857-216-6700. And the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ. And the speakers will be presenting a basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved. And also information regarding the Churches of Christ. In addition, it is intended to edify and strengthen the faith of those who are Christians. On Tuesday evening, the Del Crest Church of Christ in San Antonio, Texas presents the Women's Virtual Bible Class at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this class will be held on www.zoom.com. And the class ID number is 821-3692-8262. Each morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, the Ladies in Christ Prayer Line, hosted by the Church of Christ in Lafayette, Louisiana, and the telephone number to this prayer line is 605-472-5203, and the access code is 514-859. My co-host Steve Cordo here on the Gospel Light Radio Show has a new book entitled God, Grace, and You, and you can order this book from the 21st Century Christian Catalog. On April the 2nd, that's tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there'll be a sermon snippets from the Churches of Christ preachers in the Southeast. And the subject under consideration is Friday, but Sunday is coming, in regards to Easter Sunday, I must assume now. I'm just assuming that that's what they're talking about. But that will be live on Facebook and on. You can contact for Christ. For more information at www.arlingtonroadcoc.com. There is a spring and summer series that's kicking off every fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 time, and the preacher's panel discussion will join Minister Michael Crusoe as he moderates a series of discussions featuring seasoned preachers in our brotherhood. And the topic under discussion will be expanding the role of women in Christian worship, a word from the Lord. Stevie B's Media Production presents. This is a program reminder. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday, unless announced. Every Tuesday evening, you can expect to hear What a Word from the Lord radio show from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And each week, we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ. We'll be presenting a message from the Word of God. We also have the Community Corner segment for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. And I have three co-hosts on that show. Lou Gilbert, he's the evangelist for the Oakbrook Park Church of Christ in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And my newest co-host, Shauna Oda, she's with the Great Way Church of Christ. She has a Mid-Tennessee Singles ministry. And also we have Isa Mullins. He's here at Helen Street Church of Christ here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And then on Thursday evening each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on this broadcast, I have eight co-hosts who will be presenting messages from the Word of God. And each week, I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts here on this live show. And then on Friday night at our new time from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B, Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. Now, on that radio show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the Sweet Sounds of Voices. And we also have the Story Glory segment that we're featuring every first Friday of the month. And on this Friday night, my special guest in that Story Glory segment will be Shalay Janelle from Dallas, Texas. And on April the 23rd, I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of April. We have a new list for the year 2021. Also, my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, just tune in to Spotify, Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music, and YouTube, just to name a few, to hear all of these shows that we're producing here on a weekly basis. I have a new sponsorship manager. Her name is Michelle Marco from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. If you are interested in sponsoring any of these radio shows, just give her a call at 954-687-4705. And she will give you the information that you need to sponsor these radio shows. I'd like to give a shout out to all of my sponsors, because I certainly appreciate everyone who has taken the time to sponsor these shows. Sherwin Norwood from Chicago, Illinois, Bethesda Memorial Friend of Director Cemetery Services out of DeSoto, Texas. Stanley Phillips from Little Rock, Arkansas. Cheryl Murrah from Charlotte, North Carolina. Von Blazing Cracker Duke from Nashville, Tennessee. And Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina. And Marquise Hallman from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina. Diversified Financial Network LLC out of Dallas, Texas. The owners, Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And Ordained Faith Publishing from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Certainly appreciate all of our sponsors. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate. We want to edify. We want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. The Shout It Out question is coming up next. Stay tuned to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
When I see the light of the morning sun, and I see that everything is fine,
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Shout it out, question.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is the portion of the broadcast where I have a question from my social media platform called Shout It Out. And we want to pose a question to my co-host. We also want to encourage our listeners to join that group on social media, Facebook, and get involved in those biblical discussions. Now, my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, he serves with the Colonial Village Church of Christ there in Chicago, Chi-Town. How you doing, Courtney? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing TV. Thank you.
As you can see, I'm really into what I'm doing this evening.
Yes. That's all
right. We got a newsie for you on the broadcast. This question is from an anonymous query. It's from the state of Texas. And the scriptural reference that's given is in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14. Let me read that text first before I ask you the question. And the text is, it says, Paul writes to the church at Galatia that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And here's the question. What is the promise of the Spirit? What say you to this question?
Okay. Thank you, Stevie. This is a very good question regarding what is in regarding the question by the query, what is the promise of the Holy Spirit? To simplify it, and we know in time past, even in our present day, that a lot of discussions has taken place about the purpose of the Spirit or the promise of the Holy Spirit. So what I'd like to do is give a brief understanding regarding what Galatians 4:14 is talking about. Starting at, and I'll tell you what happened. I got involved in reading Galatians 3 because it was leading me to Galatians 4. So let me get there now. All right. So Galatians 4:14, Paul says, wait a minute, make sure. No, Galatians 3, I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy. All right, here we are. Galatians 3:14. Sorry about that, Stevie. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. So what I'd like to do is back up to verse 10 to read it in context as much as I can. Verse 10 through 14, and then we'll answer the question. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This is a quote out of Habakkuk 2:8, and I'll reemphasize that in a minute. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Here is the picture and the personality of faith, Jesus Christ, that we might receive, here it is, the promise of the Spirit through faith. So several things that we have to recognize. The discussion about verse 14 alone says this in answering the question, that Joel 2, Acts chapter 2, Genesis, where the life of Abraham is discussed, is in regards to the children of Israel being formed into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is mentioned that Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And then the promise of the Spirit, after Peter concludes the message, he mentions this, that repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, for ye shall receive the gift. The gift itself is the guidance of the Spirit. All right. The Spirit is, as we say in the Greek, is the pneumatokos of God. It is the comfort of God. It reminds people of what Jesus taught. All right. So what is the promise of the Spirit? The promise of the Spirit is that because God promised Abraham that through his seed, all nations will be blessed,
that he'll live on through his seed. So all nations also include the Gentiles. We find a case of this in Acts chapter 10 where Peter was sent to, where Cornelius was sent to Peter. Peter preached to Cornelius, a Gentile, about God, all right? So this is the idea here. The gift of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift, the Spirit itself is the gift. And the promise was made that they would be guided by the Spirit to come, to live, be transformed into the reality of Jesus Christ or into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many of us, many people who study about the Spirit, some people get it confused. They think that to have the Spirit means to do miraculous work. But the miracles were just a sign to point us to Christ. Speaking in tongues was a sign to point to Christ. Now that that which is perfect has come, we no longer need a sign because we got the best thing in a sign, and that's the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we are, the Spirit of God is manifested into our hearts to live out what we have read and studied. The promise of the Spirit simply means this, that we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Let me go to a couple verses in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, belief is that assurance of what God is saying to us is true. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Righteousness is the act of wisdom or the act of justification. All right? Even know ye therefore that they which are of faith, faith is our response to what God requires. God required that Abraham do certain things. Abraham was assured that God would come through. By faith, that is his response to what God required, he acted. And he lived by his response. So he says, and this, which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now here it is. And the scripture foreseeing what God would justify the heathen through faith. What is it through faith? That through what God requires, if man responds by the assurance of belief, they will be justified. How then is a man justified? He is not justified by works. Works, God does not judge us by our works, per se, but he judges by our heart in doing the work. The works in the law was not given to show that we are saved, but to show how unsaved we are. So to become saved, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, which is basically called the tree. By dying, he assures us through his resurrection again that we'll live through faith. Through faith is the phrase through faith is important. Why, preacher? Because it's through faith that we are learning about Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, to stay in a strong relationship. Through faith, I respond by what the Word of God says and how the Spirit guides my heart. All right, so here, therefore, so they that which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many of us, the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So here, verse 14, 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do it? He took us off the slave block of sin by paying the price, the redemption price, the redemptive price, which is blood for our salvation, giving us freedom to live a new life. And that new life now is through faith. All right? Let me show what this new life is about. Galatians chapter 2 and talking about how we are. I mean, I'm sorry. Galatians. Okay, Galatians chapter 3 is where I am. Galatians 3, verse 20 and following. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Galatians 3:21. God forbid, for if there have been always given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin, Jews and Gentiles, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, the response of Jesus Christ, how we respond to the death, burial, and resurrection, might be given to them that are assured that the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, is vital and strong and secure to save us. But before faith came in, we were kept under the law that shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now moving down, verse 26 says, for you are all the children of God by your response, faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So in order to become the spirit, so in order to become the spiritual seed of God, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit, we must be born again. Understand this now. To be born again is much more like the physical birth. The seed must germinate and bring forth a child. That is done through the seed, the water. The water, when we break water, we become born again. One cannot receive the promise of God unless they break water. Not dipped in water, not having water poured on them or sprinkled, but through the burial. The word of God serves as the sack which develops us, and the water secures us. As we break water, we become a child of God, which is spiritual baptism, and living spiritually. Therefore, we take on the character of God, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit, to guide us, grace us, govern us, to live. Now, the steps of living is through faith. Paul, Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is that moral excellence. So if I'm going to live like God, live the way God wants me to live, have the assurance that I'm saved, I'm given the promise of the Holy Spirit, which was given to Abraham, given to the Jews that believed in Acts chapter 2, promised by Joel chapter 2, and following, verses following in Joel 2. In Galatians now, he's simply signifying that all Gentiles are promised heirs of God through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us from baptism. So in answering the question, the promise of the Holy Spirit is the spiritual generation of becoming the spiritual seed of Abraham by faith, not by works of law, but by faith. So the promise of the Spirit is what was prophesied by Isaiah, Joel the prophet, Isaiah as well, Joel bringing that into Peter preaching it. In order to live again, we must be guided by the Spirit to become the spiritual seed of Abraham. Let me show this as we close with this question. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, here it is, verse 29. Now, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise which was given to Abraham that all nations shall be blessed. Thank you, Brother Steve. I hope that helps in so many ways. And thanks for the question to the query. God bless you.
Shout it out, question. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
And if you miss me from singing, and you can't find me
nowhere,
come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing the fair. Yes, I will. And I know the Lord, he will greet. The glory.
Glory,
I'll be praising the fair.
Heard
a minister say to the other day, Lord. Going to heaven,
over
all the other shore.
Over on the other shore.
Wait. come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing a faith.
I'll be singing a
faith. Yes, I will. And I know the Lord. He will greet me. Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be praising up
there.
I'll be praising up
there.
I'll be praising up there. Down on my knees, down on my knees, Lord.
I'll
be praising up there.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now my co-host Steve Cordo and his subject, Confirmations from Easter.
Well, thank you very much, Stevie, and thanks for having me back. It's been a while since I've been on the show. But thank you all for joining us and listening in. This evening I'm talking about confirmations of Easter. And, of course, this is at the time of year now when people are talking about Easter. We're talking about Jesus. And it's obviously something that we're not seeing, we don't see in the Bible about Easter or Christmas. But I like to use this time of year as a time to teach people the truth, what I like to call a sort of object lesson. Since people are thinking about Jesus and the resurrection, if you're watching the video, I'm showing a slide now where on the one side we've got Jesus in the manger and we've got Joseph and Mary there with him, and that's the one image people have of Jesus. The next image, about 3 months or 4 months later, depending on how the calendar falls, he's on the cross. People forget what happened before his birth. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And we forget that Jesus has eternally existed, and that tends to get ignored. And then in between his birth and death, well, we get a little bit of talk about that, about his ministry. Some of it presented in the public is true, some of it not. Hollywood has made all their versions of who they think Jesus is. And then after his crucifixion, the resurrection and the ascension tend to get ignored or overlooked. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and what we can get from that. I want to tell you about a woman who had a very overbearing husband. They went on vacation to Jerusalem, and while they were there, he died suddenly. And she went to an undertaker there in Jerusalem and was trying to figure out what to do, and he said to her, well, for $150 American dollars, we can bury him right here in the Holy Land. Or for $5,000, we can send him back to the States, and you can have a funeral there with that plus whatever the costs of a funeral are. And she thought about it for a minute, and then she said, no, I want to take him home to the States. And he said, are you sure? I mean, it's only $150 to bury him here. And then the woman said, listen, long ago a man died here, was buried here, and rose 3 days later. I am not taking that chance with this man. Because this time of year is when we think about the Easter Bunny and paying us a visit and that kind of thing. But let's talk about Jesus. Because there are many who deny the resurrection of Jesus. And that's another reason I like to use this as an opportunity to present the truth. John Shelby Spong, who's a retired bishop of the Episcopal Church from Richmond, Virginia, he once said on his website about the resurrection of Jesus that there is no hint in the Pauline corpus, that is, the Paul's letters, that one who had died later walked out of his grave clothes, emerged from the tomb, and was seen by his disciples. When these biblical data are assembled and examined closely, two things become clear. First, something of enormous power gripped the disciples following the crucifixion that transformed their lives. And second, it was some 50 years before that transforming experience was interpreted as the resurrection of a three-day dead Jesus to the life of the world. Our conversation about the meaning of Easter must begin where these two realities meet. And that's off of John Shelby Spong's website. Now, if you've not heard of him, he is a New York Times best-selling author. He speaks all over the world, and he carries a lot of weight in the religious community. He is a very liberal, and he's well into his 80s now, and I really hope he reconsiders some of these ideas that he has put forth, because I don't think he read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, either that or he ignored it, because 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection of Jesus and that it happened. And that was not 50 years after the fact. Now, first, I want us to think about the confirmations we have. When we think at this time of year, let's think about how God is alive. Today, let's go beyond the glaze and let's embrace the truth. Let's look at the fact that God is alive. If the Easter season says anything to us, it tells us there is a God, and he is very much alive, very much interested in the affairs of man. In Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn over there and see where Paul is using the whole creation demands a creator argument, when he says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, understand what Paul is saying here, that his invisible attributes are clearly seen. I mean, I can't see God, but I can see the effects of God by looking at the creation. See, he's not criticizing non-believers because they don't know about God. He's criticizing them because they do, but they're trying to convince themselves that they don't. They are not ignorant of the truth. They are trying to suppress it. I've got some friends who are atheists, and a couple of them were actually raised in religious homes. They went to church. They were involved, at least one of them I know was involved in youth group, and I'm not real sure how they all got into atheism. But one of them, I am sure, by reading his posts on social media, I really think he is trying to believe in God, but he's talking himself out of it. He sees the evidence there, but then he says, well, no, I just don't want to accept it, is what I think is going on in his mind. Because disbelief requires an act of rebellion against God, and I think against common sense as well. See, the scripture tells us that not only are we without excuse, but we have because of what we have internally, but because of what we see externally. God has put, I've heard it called the God-shaped hole that is in each one of us. And only God can fit. It's like the key to your house. The key to my house won't work in the key to your house. Only that one key will work. And it's the same thing with God and that hole in us. Only God can fill it. Now, we try to fill it with other things. We'll try to fill it with alcohol or with our work or with drugs or sex or whatever. But only God is really going to fill that. And God has shown us proof of his existence. Notice Paul said, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. I'm sitting here in my office in the church building at my desk as I'm doing this broadcast. Now, I have no idea who the architect was that designed this church building, but I know there was an architect. How do I know that? Well, I'm sitting here in the building. This building's been here for over 50 years. There were electricians. How do I know that? Well, I've got lights. I've got electrical power. There were plumbers. How do I know that? Well, there's a men's room down the hall and a ladies' room down the hall and a kitchen. All have running water. And the woodwork. There were carpenters. I know all these people were here and worked on the building. I don't know who they were. Now, if I wanted to take the time and trouble, I could find out who they were. There's some members here that go back many, many years who could probably tell me that. Or I could go to the courthouse or the property appraiser's office or wherever and do the research and find out if I had the interest in doing that. I'll tell you the truth. I really don't have any interest in finding out who those people were. It's just not anything that's really important to me. That's the way it is with God. This world, this universe tells us there is a creator. Now it's up to us to use our minds like Newton and Copernicus and all those early scientists and explorers did and use our minds to understand this God and who he is. And if you don't have the interest in doing it, well, obviously you're not going to take the time to find out who that God is. But since you're tuned into this program, that tells me you've got at least some interest in knowing who God is. Now, we're told in Romans chapter 1, natural revelation tells us there is a supreme being. As I said, it doesn't tell us who the supreme being is. The fact that this earth is here just says there's a creator, just like this building I'm sitting in tells me there was a construction crew and a contractor and all that. It just doesn't tell me who they were. It does not have the information, seeing that there is a planet here and there is a creation, it does not give us salvation, and that's why we need the gospel. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us. That is where the research comes in, and you study and you learn who God is. Hebrews chapter 4 says, not only is God alive, but the word of God is alive. This is what gives us our life. This is what puts us on the right track to God. The word of God is active. The old King James says it's powerful. And in the Greek, this is where we get our word energy from. The word of God is powerfully effective in doing what it is supposed to do. It is meant to save souls. It is meant to change lives. It gets results. That is the one thing between the gospel and atheistic philosophy. Atheistic philosophy doesn't change lives for the better. I've never heard anybody say, and tell me if you've ever heard anyone say this, that I used to beat my wife, I abused my children, I didn't pay my debts, I couldn't hold down a job, I was just a reprobate human being, but then I got a hold of a good book. It said, I'm going nowhere, I came from sea slime, this life is all there is, and when I'm dead, that's it. And I straightened up and became a new person because of that good atheistic teaching. Show of hands in the radio, we can't do that, it's radio, we can't see each other. But just think, have you ever heard anybody say that? I haven't. But I have heard people say they were all those things, how bad they were, but then the Lord got a hold of me. Or somebody invited me to a Bible study. Somebody taught me the gospel. I became a Christian, and I straightened up. I've heard a lot of people say that over the years. But I've never heard anyone say they became an atheist and straightened up. God is alive, and we also have confirmation that God is good. The greatest misconception about God is that he is some angry legalist looking for ways to get people, that he's sitting up there on some throne, some gray-bearded or white-bearded old man, sitting there looking down with lightning rods. He's got lightning rods in his hand, looking down, oh, there's Cordell, he just told a lie, bam, got him. There's Cordell, excuse me. There's Cordell there. He's about to tell another lie. Got him. No, that's not God. He's not sitting there waiting to get you. See, when Jesus went to the cross in Luke 23, he asked, God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, none of those people asked to be forgiven, but Jesus still asked for God to forgive them. John 3:16, arguably the most quoted, best-known scripture in the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say will not perish, it says should not perish. But God loves all the humans under heaven. He wants all men and women and children to hear about him and be saved. Romans chapter 4, when some people learn they are saved by God through faith, we like to worry. For some reason, we like to believe bad news but never really good news. So when someone says it's by faith, by obedient faith, that we are saved, oh, no, that can't be it. I got to do something. I got to do good works or I've got to earn my way to heaven somehow. But you're missing the point if that's what you're thinking. Because Jesus saves us, not our feelings, not our actions, not our emotions. It's the work of Jesus. We accept that by faith. And by faith, we are baptized into Christ. We are immersed to have our sins forgiven. Which leads us to the fact that we have confirmation Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, this is where some people kind of raise their eyebrows at me and they say, well, wait a minute, preacher. There's got to be a lot of ways. I saw a thread on Facebook once. Someone said that there are 7 billion people on this planet. There are 7 billion ways to get to God. Well, she overdid it by about 6,999,000, however many million that is. There's only one way. And it's very popular these days to believe Jesus is just one of many ways to get there. You know, my grandmother from Scotland, there was a song she used to sing, you take the high road, I'll take the low road, I'll be in Scotland before you. Two different ways to get there, that's fine. Two different ways to get to Scotland. Paul Simon said there are 50 ways to leave your lover. There's only one way to get to God. Count them. One, Jesus never considered multiple ways to get to heaven to be the case. John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now ask an English teacher or any language teacher, the way, what does that mean? Definite article. Means there's only one. He didn't say I'm one of many options. He didn't say I'm just one of many beliefs that you can follow, whatever you want, however you want. He did not leave the door open for any other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, period, end of discussion, end of conversation, exclamation point, that's it. And Paul did not think Jesus was one of many ways. Neither did Peter. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter made it clear there's only one way. Paul didn't think Jesus was just one of many ways either. In Acts chapter 4, Peter said there is salvation in no one else. See, God has given us no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then Paul told Timothy that there is one God, one, count them, one, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. So at this time of year, we can see that God's got a plan, that God is alive, he's interested in the affairs of man, he's interested in you, and we can see Jesus is the only way, that is the purpose of his coming. You know, if there were many other ways to get to heaven, or if we could get there on our own merits, and just think about this, there was no point in Jesus coming. But Jesus came because there was no other way to reconcile man to God. Now, it's between you and God at this point. No one can make a decision for you. No one can make you become a Christian. But then again, no one can stop you from doing it. It's up to you. And if you're not a Christian or if you're not sure, then you know, private message Stevie or private message me or anybody else who's on the program. We'll be glad, any one of us will be glad to help you get in touch with a church in your area or with a or online. We'll help you find the way. We'll help you make sure that you are right with God before he returns. Thanks again for having me, Stevie. That's my lesson for this evening, and we'll see you next month.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It has to work out. God makes no mistakes. Jeremy, I need you to minister to somebody.
Life, one of those things you can't control. Oh, my child, I am appealing to your soul. Now hear what I say when things don't go your way. God's faithful, he makes no mistake.
Aren't you glad you serve a faithful God?
Rest assured, God makes no mistake.
Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Anybody have faith that that's gonna happen?
Listen here.
Come on.
Faith.
Do you have faith?
Believe that what God says comes to pass. Yes, it does.
Believe it.
Endurance you can withstand the test.
You know
for all,
every
things work,
every struggle
together for the good. God cannot lie. Things will work out just like he said they would.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've seen it happen. Things will work out just like
for those in the struggle.
On your journey, you may not see the way.
Tell him what to do.
But keep moving. There's purpose in your pain.
You gotta have some faith.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. We certainly appreciate those who've been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media, Facebook Live. And I want to thank my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson. We had a rough start for the show this evening, but we finally got it together. Robert did a great job, as he always does, on this broadcast. So we certainly appreciate his efforts. Also, Steve Cordo. Steve's been away for about a month or two. He's relocated now from Florida to Illinois. So that's going to be a very different climate change where he needs to get used to that cold weather up there in Chicago, in that Chicago area. So we certainly welcome Steve back to the broadcast, and we certainly appreciate his efforts on the broadcast as well. Certainly appreciate my co-host Courtney Carruthers from the Chicago, Illinois, for his answer. Great answer, very thorough answer. And I really enjoy listening to these brothers answer these questions on this broadcast. So we appreciate them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just thrilled to be able to bring you a weekly program. It's our prayer that the lessons that were given on this radio show have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning in this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Steve R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts here on the Gospel Light Radio Show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these radio programs. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Find a little talk.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, episode 225.
Oh, love of God will save you.
Yeah.